You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Even if you thought Arkansas would beat Texas Saturday, you probably didn't see that game coming. The Razorbacks beating the Longhorns 40-21, a game that really was not as close as the final score would suggest. Arkansas just thoroughly dominated Texas in a way that we haven't seen them do against an opponent in quite some time. And for them to do it against a Big 12 team, I think that was maybe even a little bit more surprising, to do it against a Power 5 team, a team that is as quality as the Longhorns typically are. Matt Jones, joined today by Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com and Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated. Clay, what were your kind of big picture takeaways from what you saw Saturday night?
Well, it was one of those rare nights when the stars aligned perfectly, and everything from field goals bouncing in off the uprights, a fumbled punt that you don't lose at the one-inch line because of a toenail out of bounds. I mean, it's just the things went right. You know, there could have been a couple of targeting calls. Big 12 referees looked like they were auditioning to become SEC referees because they didn't call targeting, they didn't call holding, they didn't call pass interference. I'm saying some of those would have been against Arkansas, some against Texas. They just didn't call penalties. They had not called that crew, apparently didn't call many penalties in their first week, last week. I'm not sure what game it was, but I'd been told that they only called 7 penalties in that game. So they're a crew that just kind of lets you play. And it was an entertaining night for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, you could tell it was one of those nights where the officials were probably going to let both teams play when – you know, the whistle's blown, and it's very, very, very hard to hear the whistle blow, especially if you're on the field. But Trey Williams comes in and he gets like a hit on Hudson Card like 4 seconds after the whistle blew, and nothing really happened. That was maybe a minute play in the grand scheme of things, but I thought it was kind of telling. And, you know, Arkansas dodged a bullet early with a Greg Brooks muffed punt. I was sitting next to Clay, and it was kind of, you know, he mentioned Reggie Fish right off the bat. Just Arkansas has got to stop fielding punts inside the 10. I don't know what you do. Maybe you set like an invisible fence like you do with your dogs, and, you know, you set it at the 10-yard line. And if the guys go inside the 10, you zap them or something. That's got to stop. But I think overall for Arkansas, it was like a rare special teams win. For them, Cam Little was really consistent. And I think he's doing a really cool thing where he's donating the rest of the season, $10 for every field goal he makes to a foundation that benefits Down syndrome. And that's a pretty cool deal. You got a few yards in punt return, I think, from Nathan Perotti. Arkansas just didn't shoot itself in the foot. You know, the worst thing that happened for Arkansas, you know, after the Greg Brooks muffed punt was, you know, a couple penalties late in the game. I think Trey Williams did actually get flagged for, I think, roughing the passer, and Joe Fouché had one on the sideline that may have been iffy. But other than that, I mean, it was a perfect storm for Arkansas, and I think Arkansas's got some dudes at tailback. I mean, Traylon Smith is the guy in that room, and I think Rocket Sanders is your number two, but even 3 and 4 gave you some really good reps.
Yeah, I think another thing that you have to really tell yourself is that Texas didn't play its best game. And they benched their quarterback this week. They're going to go with the guy that finished the game that can give them a little bit of option running, a little positive yards in the passing game. But Hudson Card, he had guys open 3 times. Now, there was at least once that the receiver should have held the ball, but they had some big plays in the passing game. Arkansas has to shore that up. What they gave in the middle of the field, you can't do against a good passing team because they'll make you pay. But it looked like Texas had a little nerves and didn't handle the environment and the atmosphere. And, you know, maybe that's, Steve Sarkisian just not having his team, you know, totally, you know, locked down yet. I mean, he's a new coach there. He hadn't been a head coach for a number of years. So it just, like I said, the stars aligned. Texas helped you. It was you played at peak level. The crowd was unbelievable. Students were unbelievable. It was as good an atmosphere as I've seen in either one of the Arkansas stadiums.
The officiating crew, by the way, the head referee was Brandon Cruz. They had worked the Maryland-West Virginia game the week before. Clay, there were 8 penalties for 49 yards in that game. And this is an experienced crew. This is the same crew that called the national championship game last season between Ohio State and Alabama. So they let them play on Saturday night. You mentioned the crowd. The whole time I was thinking that it reminded me of some of those baseball crowds at the end of the 21 season, you know, like the Florida series or the games against Nebraska or the games against North Carolina State in the Super Regional. And the reason I thought those crowds were so good was because the fans hadn't been able to come out there in, what, close to 2 years? I mean, they couldn't come out in 2020, obviously, because the season was suspended. And then for most of the 21 season, there was a limit on capacity. It'd been even longer, you know, since a lot of people had been at a football game. First time that they had sold out the stadium in 4 years, really the first time they had filled it up in five. Clay, it just felt to me like this was a lot of people who had a lot of pent-up emotion, whether it be because of COVID, not being able to come to games, or just because Arkansas football has been pretty bad for the last few years, and they really let it go on Saturday night.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that it's Texas. And I think that that there's a lot of new gear, a lot of new Beat Texas gear sold last week. And, you know, I drove through campus early in the day Saturday, and of course it's a night game, and it was already hyped up and amped up. And you know, you're driving around town on Friday afternoon, you better allow for some extra time, because that Fayetteville was jam packed with visitors. And it just was a unique atmosphere that we haven't seen in that stadium in a long, long time. And it's, of course, it's a new stadium. I think there were a lot more people there than, what'd they say, 74,531? Is that the attendance announced? Now, you have to understand, that's probably just scanned tickets, the way I understand it. Matt, you have a better handle on some of this stuff than I do.
I think that's right.
But there was a time when they counted everybody in the press box. They counted concession workers that are not even outside in the stadium. They counted ushers. They counted. So I believe there were probably, you know, 76,000-77,000 people in that stadium. And there were some empty seats. There was there was a row right behind the Texas band that, you know, wasn't filled. And there were scattered places in the Texas section on the east side that had a few open seats, but there weren't many in that stadium that were open.
I go back a little bit in terms of atmosphere. Like, Saturday's was obviously the best atmosphere that, you know, I've got to be a part of, but it kind of reminded me a little bit of the home crowds during Bobby Petrino's last year. Like, when Auburn came in, I think it was the year after Auburn won a national championship, and there was camping, you know, all along Stadium Drive. And then I think South Carolina came in that same year, ranked again, more people camping. I don't know that Arkansas students have camped for games much in the last decade. And then when, you know, Dixieland Delight started playing over the loudspeakers in the stadium, I kind of felt like I was on Willie D's at Dixon. It made for a really fun night.
The listed capacity at the stadium, by the way, is 76,412. It was a sellout. So it kind of lends to what you were saying, Clay. It was probably a number of tickets sold. And it's one of the reasons you can never really get too caught up in the numbers that they announce, because it seems like every 2 or 3 years they're changing the way that they announce these listed attendances. So they said the other night that it was the 9th most attended game, but in a different era, you know, it may have been ranked even higher, you know, based on the way that they accounted attendance. I think what the game on Saturday showed is that Arkansas can have a real home field advantage. And that's something that, you know, obviously hasn't been the case in quite some time. Think about the, you know, the end of the Bielema era, the Chad Morris years. The stadium was, you know, maybe half full, maybe 3/5 full for most of their games. So I think it shows that Arkansas can have a real home field advantage when they play at Razorback Stadium. And they've got some games coming up later this year where I think you're going to see the crowd be really good again. They play Missouri, they play Auburn. I mean, can you imagine what the crowd is going to be like for that Auburn game after the way last year's game ended? They play Missouri after Thanksgiving. That game's always got a little bit different of a dynamic because of the holiday. Let's talk about the play on the field. Scotty, the thing that jumped out to me was just the physicality. I thought the offensive line, I went back and watched not the whole game. I know you've gone back and watched the whole game. I watched about half, maybe into the third quarter, and I watched it on ESPN Skycam. And I thought that it was fascinating to watch that Skycam angle because you could really see what was happening right there, maybe in the, you know, the inside part of the offensive line, the center, the guards, the nose tackles and whatnot. And the things that jumped out to me were that John Ridgeway and Isaiah Nichols played a really good game. And then on Arkansas side, I was really impressed with the play of Ricky Stromberg against Keandre Coburn, a 346-pound all Big 12 type defensive tackle who's probably going to play in the NFL. But then I also thought the guards next to him played really well. And then Sam Pittman said today during his news conference with reporters that he was really impressed with the tackles and even backup Bo Limmer. It seemed like it was just an all-around great day for both sides of the lines.
For sure. And, you know, Arkansas's running backs, obviously, they had a really good day. Went for, and KJ Jefferson, you throw him in there too, and Malik Hornsby, run for 333 and four touchdowns on 7 yards a pop. And that's really good, but they're not doing it all by themselves. You know, even though the running backs did a pretty good job of, you know, utilizing the cutback lanes that were there. You know, Sam Pittman was really high on what Ricky Stromberg did. And I saw, I think it was a guy he writes for I think it's kind of a mock draft type website. And he said that Ricky Stromberg just dominated at the center spot. And to get your running game going, you know, the way that it did the other night, you had to win that battle over the ball, you know, against a couple of nose guards that are, you know, at least 335 pounds apiece, all Big 12 performer. One of them is kind of neutralized him for the most part. Same way with the linebackers, you know, with the exception of a couple plays. But Bo Limmer, who came in for a little while to spell Ty Clary, he ended up on Pro Football Focus's National Team of the Week at right guard. I mean, that's your backup guard. And then, you know, Myron Cunningham and Dalton Wagner had a really good week one. I think both of those guys graded out at about 80. And, you know, they came to play again. On the defensive side of the ball, I think we found out John Ridgeway is a real deal. And the way that he just – I mean, he completely whipped Texas center on the sack that he had. And it says a lot about Arkansas's defensive front and the physicality that, you know, you can get to the quarterback, make the quarterback scramble, and make him think on the fly when you're just rushing three guys. And I mentioned this to Clay the other night. Arkansas was getting consistent pressure and knocking the quarterbacks off the spot sometimes when they were playing their third team ends and sometimes like a second team nose. And Arkansas's, I think, defensive front with, you know, the combination of depth and physicality, I think it just wore Texas down. And then you can't talk about physicality without talking about Grant Morgan for a little bit. I mean, he didn't play the full game, still ended up with 13 tackles. And then Hayden Henry, you know, he's a madman, sticking his nose into everything, finished with 15 tackles. He's, you know, a defensive player, national player of the week. I mean, they play really hard. They play really hard. And that's obviously something to be happy about as a fan. And I don't really think that part who Arkansas is really going anywhere.
You know, we talk about defensive line play, and I watched the game last night again on the ESPNU. And I was really focused on the stunts and the sliding and the movement of the defensive front. We didn't see that last year. Last year, they played a three-man front, and when they got in their stance, they pretty much stayed in those spots. But before the snap, they were sliding, standing up, moving two gaps. That really confuses a defense when the linemen slide two gaps and then somebody steps up or somebody steps off the line. And you could see they did it really late in the play clock. And that's makes it almost impossible to change the play. And you saw Arkansas play in the gaps, the Bijan Robinson, who's really a good player, just completely frustrated him because linemen were stepping through across the line of scrimmage and cutting off. He's a cutback runner. Texas wanted to play the way Arkansas's backs did with cutbacks. And early in the game, it was obvious that there was somebody stepping through where there was no cutback, and he had to take his first option. And that's how they stopped the running game. And that's what Barry Odom's defenses look like in Missouri, and that's the first time. They didn't show that stuff as much against Rice. Didn't need to because they stopped the running game playing pretty straight. But that will – I'll promise you, offensive line coaches and offensive coordinators around the SEC, when they see that film, they're going, uh-oh, here we go. Barry Odom's got his bag of tricks going again.
Yeah, Sam Pittman said that they held some things back for Texas. Said that they didn't show a lot of three-man front against Rice. He said they incorporated some new blitzes for that Texas game. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Bud Anderson is now the official heating and air provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. You can call them 479-231-3827 or visit them online, gocallbud.com. One of the things that stood out to me was the play of Arkansas's running backs. It almost felt like a Houston Nutt era game when it's like, well, who is this guy? You know, I mean, you're rotating, feels like 27 different running backs into the game, and they're all seeming to make plays. Clay, it just seemed like they just came at him in waves. And maybe this is going to be a team where you don't rely on the Rakeem Boyd or, you know, the Raleigh Williams, or that's kind of been Arkansas in the past few years, is there's been that one back. Maybe this is a year where they play tailback by committee, or at least that's the way it seemed Saturday night.
Yeah, I think Treylon Smith is the guy, but they've got some depth, and it really reminded me, and you what you're saying is right. You know, you've referenced, you know, maybe an Arkansas look in the past, but I'll tell you who it reminded me of when Nebraska really had things going and they would roll three or four I-backs in, and that's what they called them, I-backs, you know, back in the days of Mike Rozier and I Am Hip, and, you know, there'd be somebody to go out in the first quarter and they bring in a second back, a third back, a fourth back, sometimes a fifth back, and you couldn't tell a drop off. And sometimes those young ones that you hadn't seen were their best ones. They just were back the, you know, they're behind an All American. And, you know, I saw Oklahoma State with Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders rotating. And that was, you know, a rolling ball of butcher knives. I mean, it was, you couldn't tackle them. And, you know, with Hillis, McFadden, and Hillis, and Jones. Felix Jones, Peyton, you know, that was just an incredible look. And what I noticed that was really positive is some of the young backs excelled in pass protection. I commented to Scotty on the pass to Tyson Morris that was really, to me, the play of the game. It was right after Texas had scored. They dialed up a blitz in a passing situation, brought, I think he was a safety. And Dominic Johnson was on the right side set up in pass. He had stepped that way. And when that late blitz came, he came across the formation in front of KJ, who is stepping up to throw over the blitz, and he picked him up and caught him square. And it is a dynamic play for a young running back to pick up the blitz in that situation. If that doesn't happen, that game may have turned out entirely different.
Yeah, Dominic Johnson, I thought he was – I think he finished, what, like fifth on the team in rushing in the game, but he had some of the biggest plays of the game, like you mentioned, with that blitz pickup. And then, you know, he had the early touchdown run on that really, you know, clever design play where he – I think he's lined up either behind the right guard or the right tackle and just kind of got a quick handoff moving, you know, kind of against the grain after you send a slot receiver in motion. And then he had a really heads up play, you know, where he used, you know, all the instincts that he had to pick up that rolling snap back to KJ Jefferson. Then he picked up, I think, a dozen yards or got Arkansas down deep into Texas territory. I think just all of those running backs, man, they bring something unique to the table. And I think, you know, Treylon Smith, me and Clay talked about it a little bit. I think he's a great runner, and he's really tough to tackle. He's got to get moving more north and south than he does, but he's your top back. I think Rocket Sanders is kind of nipping at his heels a little bit, because I think Rocket's the best of that bunch of getting north and south. And then when he gets there, he's looking for somebody to hit. And he gave the Texas defensive back the other night the cheapest ride of the night. I know Ubers were pretty expensive on Dixon after the game, but he carried him about 10 yards and well into the end zone. He's going to be special. And Dominic Johnson, I think, he might be your best back in terms of pass protection. And then AJ Green might be your fastest one out of all of them. You know, he's got 10-3 speed, and I think he did that early in his high school career. Sam Pittman asked Sam about AJ Green today, because AJ missed some time in camp with a concussion, and about halfway through camp, he'd only gone through about 4 or 5 practices. So he's a little bit behind. And Sam said that, you know, without that practice time, a 10-3 guy, he's running 11-5 with 11-5 speed, just because he's having to think instead of just doing things instinctually. You got some good backs in that group. You're going to see a lot of them.
One of the big deals for Arkansas now is how to handle success. We talked last week about how do they handle the emotions going into the Texas game. Obviously they handled that well, but now how do they, you know, handle being a top 25 team? They've got Georgia Southern coming in this week, and I thought Georgia Southern might be a little bit more difficult of an opponent for them than I think they're probably going to wind up being. They have not looked very good in their first couple of games. They barely beat Gardner Webb, an FCS team, and then they got beat really bad by Florida Atlantic the other night, 38-6, to fall to 1-1. They do get their quarterback back this week. I don't know if he'll play. He's served a 2-game suspension. And talking to Danny Reed, their play-by-play man, who was on our podcast a few weeks ago, he said that really it's just kind of a toss-up as to, you know, what they're going to do at quarterback. And there's probably a pretty good chance they're going to play multiple quarterbacks. But what they do is they run a triple option. And I thought it was interesting listening to Sam Pittman talk about they actually spent about 3 or 4 days in preseason camp, portions of practice over 3 or 4 days, basically putting in a defense to prepare for Georgia Southern, because he said, you know, it's really hard to prepare for a triple option team during the course of just a week, if that's the only time you're going to see a team like that. So this game, it's interesting because you've got a triple option team coming in, who really needs to play well, because they haven't played well the last couple of weeks. And then on the other side, you've got Arkansas that, you know, if there was ever a time for a letdown, and I'm not talking about an upset, you know, just a time where you don't play well and you look sluggish and sloppy, it could potentially be this week, Clay, where it's sandwiched between the win over Texas and next week's game against A&M that's been picked up by CBS and very well could be the College Game Day game.
You're right, Matt. And it's, I'll just go on record now and say Arkansas won't play as well, and they won't hit their peaks like they did against Texas. And maybe those kicks don't bounce right off the upright. Maybe some passes find their way to the receiver instead of sailing a little bit wide. Maybe you're a half a step slow in everything that you do. They're going to hear how good they are this week. And it's, we're doing it. Mamas and daddies and girlfriends are doing it. Teammates are doing it. Now, there'll be some they work hard in practice, and Sam Pittman won't let them up on that. But their peak and focus on Texas will not be as sharp on Georgia Southern. But having said that, that's the way it is. And you have to come back and put in the work and perform. And I expect that Arkansas will win, and I expect them to win comfortably. But, you know, there may be some things and some adversity, like, you know, what you saw against Rice that crop up in this game. We're not talking about a juggernaut yet. We're talking about a team that looks like it's got a lot of nice pieces, and they play hard, and they've got a good defensive front. But their linebackers, the way they play at linebacker, will be negated by the option. You cannot blitz. You cannot step. You cannot lose discipline. You know, Hayden Henry will have to stay in his tracks a little longer this week than, say, he has the last couple of weeks when he knew where the ball was going. You don't know where the ball's going in the triple option.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with Grant Morgan and his left leg injury. Sam Pittman said on Monday that, you know, he's a little bit day to day, and but Sam did expect him to practice and, you know, kind of quote unquote do what he can do. But I think, you know, I was really encouraged Saturday with just the way that Arkansas tracked the football, the way that they ran to it, their pursuit. It was really encouraging, and they played physical. And, you know, Sam Pittman said his favorite play of the game was really early when Joe Fouché came crashing off the edge, went airborne. And then I think he got a hold of Bijan Robinson's ankle and then held on long enough for about six or seven other guys to get there. That team pursuit, that was pretty encouraging. And I mean, that's what it's going to take, you know, I think to, you know, really limit this triple option offense.
A few news items. We mentioned just a second ago, Arkansas is going to play Texas A&M on CBS next Saturday. That's a 2:30 kickoff at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. As of right now, that's one of two top 25 games in college football that day, the other one being Wisconsin-Notre Dame at Soldier Field in Chicago. That's why I said that there's a high probability that could be the game day game. The SEC also announced that it's going to fine Arkansas $100,000 for the fans running onto the field. Following the Texas game, it's Arkansas's second offense. The first one came in 2014 when the Razorbacks beat LSU in that football game that broke the 17-game losing streak. And then Hayden Henry and Cam Little earned SEC Player of the Week awards this week. Henry was the SEC Defensive Player of the Week, and Little was the SEC Freshman of the Week. All right, let's get out of here on this. Clay, I will give you kudos for picking Texas. I lost my guts last week. I had been telling everybody all offseason that I thought Arkansas would win this game, really for all the reasons that ended up happening. You've got a new coaching staff, a freshman quarterback coming into a hostile environment, playing a team that really had something to prove. But then I saw week one when Arkansas played Rice and struggled, and Texas, you know, beat Louisiana Lafayette pretty well. And I just thought Texas looked like a better team in week one. It really goes to show you, you know, that old saying by coaches about a team shows its most improvement between week one and week two. I can't remember an Arkansas team that looked as good the second week, or maybe showed as much improvement between one game and two games as Arkansas did between Rice and Texas.
Well, I think you're right. And I just think Arkansas is a lot more physical this year than they've been in several years. I think the third year of the Bielema era, they were getting to this level in offensive and defensive line. And then they lost some players, didn't replace them, lost Denver Kirkland, and it just seemed to things spiraled downward. And I think lack of depth, and I think Brett started not, you know, as much physical practice, you know, shortened practices, and I think it just kind of tailed off. I do not think you'll see that with Sam Pittman. I think he understands that the key to physical play is the way you practice and you work. And I thought that they would be able to run the ball against Texas. I thought they'd be able to stop the run, and that's the way the game played out. And, you know, I will say this. I'm not going to pick against Arkansas against Texas. I just can't. It's just in my bones. I'm sorry, Matt. And, you know, maybe that's, you know, my bias coming through. So I probably shouldn't take a lot of credit for jumping out there with a pick that I'm just can't pick Texas. Sorry.
And that improvement saying too, Matt, I think that can go for a quarterback too. You know, KJ kind of took some heat in week one because he, you know, he wasn't sharp, you know, in the passing game and, you know, let some balls sail. You know, he threw for, I think, fewer yards against Texas than he did against Rice, but I think he had a much better game. I charted all of his passes before I went to Sam Pittman's press conference. You know, he did have the interception, but it was a terrific play with that Texas safety. And if he doesn't get his hand on that ball, Keytron Jackson is running the other way for six. And he had, I think, one interceptable throw in the end zone where I think a Texas player got maybe two hands on the ball and tipped it in the air. His other 17 throws were clean. I didn't chart him with an inaccurate pass outside of the, you know, the interceptable pass and then the pick he threw. That's really good news, you know, and he, you know, he did his thing in the run game again too. You know, he's doing a really good job of knowing when to give the ball to the tailbacks and, you know, maybe manipulate that defensive end and then keep the ball. You know, I think he's doing a really good job, and he improved in week two.
Go over to WholeHogSports.com today. Clay's got a story about how fans under 30 still hate Texas. I'm pretty proud of a story that I wrote about Sam Pittman's upbringing, raising hogs and building houses, and about how that's helped him prepare him for this rebuild job that he has here with the Razorbacks. Also, if you go to our website, WholeHogSports.com, make sure to look in the top right-hand corner. There's an HI button. That's for our Hogs Illustrated magazine. You can look at the E-edition following the Arkansas-Texas game. We're really proud of that one. We will be back with the podcast later this week to take a little bit deeper look at the Arkansas-Georgia Southern game. For Scotty Bordelon and Clay Henry, I'm Matt Jones. Have a good week.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.